We learned the last few weeks that God has you on this earth for a reason. There's a divine purpose. And God wants your life to impact other people's lives for Christ. He wants you to be a part of somebody else's story in them coming to Jesus, or at least just having a real positive spiritual impact on their life. And one of the most powerful ways to influence other people is by serving. Christ was so influential, Jesus. And the reason why he was so influential is because he had a servant's heart. He came to serve. He loved to serve. This text, Romans 12, is all about serving. In fact, he starts out, look at verse 1. Romans 12, 1 says, I urge you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service of worship. And we talked about how God has saved us to serve. That's one of the reasons. He saved you to serve. And Paul said here, it's reasonable service. In other words, it's logical. It makes sense that we would want to serve Jesus Christ after all he's done for us. How many of you are thankful for all that Jesus has done for you? Amen? Well, it's logical that we would want to serve him. And then he encourages and kind of reminds us to serve. Look down at verse number 11. In verse 11, he says, do not be lazy in diligence, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. The idea of being fervent about it is that nobody has to twist your arm to serve. You're red hot, man. You're fervent about it. You're looking for opportunities to serve. But you know, anytime we try something new, it can be intimidating. Some of you have never been involved serving. I mean, you look at like the sheet we handed out, and it says on there, here it is, opportunities to serve Christ. You know, and you got kids ministry, media team, you got all these different areas, and that can be intimidating because you've never done that. And you're like, you know, I don't know if I want to do that. That's kind of intimidating, you know. But here's the thing. You know, it's always intimidating when you try to do something new if you haven't been prepared. How many of you have ever been asked to do something and you didn't have a clue how to do it? Raise your hand if you ever had that happen. You know, you didn't have a clue how to do it. And so it was very intimidating. Nobody prepared you. Well, God doesn't do that. God doesn't ask us to do something that he hasn't prepared us for. And so God not only saved us to serve and encouraged us to serve, but the third point there in your handout is that God has gifted us to serve. He's gifted every believer to serve. He's not going to ask you to do something that he hasn't gifted you to do. You know, when I was in school, long time ago, they had something called the gifted program. This was for super smart kids. This was kids with high IQs, brainiacs, you know. And maybe your school called it something different, but it was kind of the idea that some kids had it and some didn't, you know. And only a few kids were gifted, and therefore only a few kids were in the gifted program. But I want you guys to know that it is not that way at all in God's family. I want you to know God doesn't have favorites. I'm not a favorite. Okay, he's like, Pastor Dan must be one of God's favorites. No, I'm not. God has no favorites in his family. He gives special gifts to every single member of his family. It isn't that some members of God's family are his favorites, and then it's kind of like, oh, yeah, well, he's a member of the family, but we try to keep him out of sight. We don't talk much about him, you know. Some people are like that with family members, you know. We don't talk much about her, you know. And God doesn't do that. I want you to know God has gifted every member of his family. It's not like, okay, Pastor Dan, he's in God's gifted program, but I'm not. I'm just not in God's gift. No, it's not like that at all. God gives special gifts to every member of his family. If you know Jesus today, hot dog, you're in God's gifted program, amen? And you're in it, man. You are in it. And you have been given special gifts so that you could feel like you're a contributing member of the family of God, a vital part of the family of God. In fact, 1 Corinthians 12 is a great companion text with Romans 12. It's kind of cool. It's the next book. But look at what it says. It says there are various gifts, but the same Spirit, same Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. He says there's differences of administrations. It just means like there's different positions in the body of Christ, but the same Lord. We have the same Jesus, right? He says there's various operations, different functions, but it's the same God who operates, notice, all of them in all people. But the manifestation of the Spirit, and that's just talking about the gifts he gives. So these gifts that he gives out to us, he says these gifts, these manifestations of God's Spirit living inside of us, it's given to everyone for the common good. Let's go down now to verse 11. He says, but that one and very same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, works all these, dividing to each one, each of us, individually as he will. So what's the point here? The Holy Spirit places everybody in God's gifted program. Every person has a function, has a role, and nobody's unimportant. You say, well, I feel unimportant. Well, you shouldn't feel unimportant. You are not unimportant. Every member of God's team, every member of the body is important. In fact, later on in that chapter, 1 Corinthians 12, look what he says. He says, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor the head to the feet, well, I have no need of you. No, that makes sense. It doesn't make sense for your eye to say to your hand, I don't need you. I mean, think about it. If my eye sees that Bible and my eye wants to pick that Bible up, what's it need? It needs the hand. The eye can't say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor can the head say to the feet, I have no need of you. What's he saying? Every member is important. We're all gifted. And that's what verses 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 are about. God, look, in fact, look at verse 4. He says there, for just as we have many parts in one body, and not all parts have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and we're all parts of one another. What he's saying is we're all connected together in Christ. We have different functions, we have different gifts, but we're all one body. It's like you. You got a finger, you got toes, you got a hand, you got feet, you got legs, you got arms, you got a nose, you got ears, you got eyes, you got a mouth, but how many bodies?
One.
That's not a trick question, guys. How many bodies do you have?
One.
Right. But a lot of different parts. Right? And so that's the analogy that he's using, that we are all one. We are all connected together in Christ. Got different functions. We've got different gifts. Then he begins to list the gifts. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a one-sentence description of each gift. If you want to write them down, you can as we go. It's not in your handout. But if you've got another piece of paper or if you want to jot them somewhere, feel free to do so. Because here's the goal. I'm going to give you the seven gifts in Romans 12. And guess what? You've got at least one of them. So by the end of the description of these seven, I want you to be able to say, yep, that's my gift. Yep, I know that. You know what? Maybe there's two. I just want to warn you, you're not going to have all seven. So don't any of you think that you're like spiritual Superman in here, okay? And that you got all seven gifts. Yep. Yeah, Pastor Dan went through all seven gifts. I've got them all. Okay? No, you've got probably one, maybe two that are your primary gifts. So I want you to be able to try to determine and to figure out, you know, what your gift is. Okay? So let's do this. Let's begin in verse number 6. He says, we have diverse different gifts according to the grace that's given to us. Okay, so it's just God's grace. God gave you these gifts. They're gifts. And he says, notice the number one, he says, if prophecy, he says, then according to the proportion of faith. And this is the gift of prophecy. What is that? This is the proclamation of God's truth, usually publicly. These are people who get up publicly. They love to do that. They love to get up in front of groups or crowds, and they love to proclaim and explain and apply God's word to people's lives. You know, some people thrive on that. They love it. I do. I love that. You know, I have people that will pretty regularly tell me, and I have pastors tell me, I don't know how you preach three times on Sunday. I preach one time, and I'm wore out. You know, and I'll have people tell me, yeah, Pastor Dan, I feel so sorry for you, man, having to preach three times on Sunday, 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 o'clock, man, that's a lot. I don't know how you do that. You know, and I just want you guys to know, don't feel sorry for me. This is what I'm gifted to do. I love it. I thrive on it. And yeah, let me just say this. Yes, I get tired, so don't quit praying for me. Well, he doesn't need my prayers. No. I still need you to pray for me because I'm human and I get physically tired and I get emotionally drained and I get mentally drained. And so, yes, it's draining. Yes, it's tiring. But don't feel sorry for me because I'm getting to do what I'm gifted to do. And you know what? I've never looked at it as I have to preach three times. I look at it as I get to preach three times. And you know what's great about it? Is how many preachers get the opportunity to correct all the mistakes from the first two services. Amen? You guys get the best one, right? Because I've already done it twice. It worked out the kinks. Amen? You're like, well, man, if this is the best it gets, I'd hate to hear the 8 o'clock. But no, I mean, I look at it as I get to do this. I love it. I love it, you know? And today I get to do it four times because, you know, tonight Clayton wanted me to preach his charge at the ordination. So I get to do it again. I get to do it four times today. But to show you how people differ, though, I love it. I thrive on it. But some of you, if I said to you, you're going to have to get up three times in front of hundreds of people and you're going to have to speak to them, some of you could not face tomorrow if you knew you had to do that. You'd run away from home. You'd be like, I'm out of here. I'm not doing that, right? And that's the furthest thing from your mind would be to get up and do what I'm doing right now. And that's because you're not gifted with the gift of prophecy. That's not your thing. That's not how the Holy Spirit gifted you when you got saved. Now, maybe he did. Some of you do have the gift of being able to get up and speak and proclaim God's truth. Hey, we need more people in the ministry. We need more preachers. We need more pastors. We need more people who will do what I'm doing. Some of you could do it better than me, to tell you the truth. Right now, some of you are like, amen, that's right, I could. But you need to prepare then, because you probably could. But you know what? We need guys who will surrender to the ministry. We need people who will surrender to the ministry, and we need preachers, you know. And so some of you in here really ought to be considering that with your life, as your life's work. I don't care how old you are, but it's not never too late. And you ought to consider doing this because we need preachers. So many churches out there that don't have preachers. They don't have anyone to pastor and love them. And so, you know, we need that. But some of you have a different gift. This isn't your gift. That's okay. Let's go to the next one. Maybe this is it. Number two is the gift of ministry. And that's found there also in verse 7. He says, if your gift is service, then serve, right? He says, in serving. And King James calls it ministry. It's the same thing, ministry, serving. You know what this gift is? This is the gift of serving behind the scenes. Some of you are like, yeah, that sounds more like me, right? This is a person who just wants to get the job done. They'll perform necessary jobs, manual tasks. They'll basically do whatever it takes to get the job done, whatever's needed. It's like, hey, we want to build a candy maze. And some of you guys are like all over that. Like, man, I'll show up on a Saturday and help build the candy maze. Yeah. You know, it's because you have this gift, right? And that's something that you thrive on. You love that. We've got people who come every week, you know, the marquee sign out front when you come in, it's got messages on there, it's got events coming up, volunteers come in and they change it, they go to the office, they get all the letters they need, then they go out, they put them up, it's kind of time consuming, and yet they come in every week and they do that. Why? They have the gift of serving, you know, some people have that gift where they just love to work behind the scenes. This is probably the gift that the Holy Spirit gives to the most people, because it's so needed. There's just thousands and thousands of things that have to be done in a week's time in the work of the ministry, and someone has to have a heart to do those things. Most of the things, you know, on the opportunities to serve, it's just that gift of serving. It's like, yes, I can do that. Let's go to the next one. The third one is the gift of teaching. That's found there in verse number 7. He says, if service and serving, he who teaches and teaching. He's saying, look, if that's your gift, teaching, then you need to teach. This is the gift of communicating and clarifying the details of God's word in such a way that others will learn and they will grow. It's like some people have that gift to explain things, and it's like, you get it. right? It's like the light bulb goes on and you're like, yep, now I get it. Now I get it. I didn't get it. Now I get it. You know, you read the Bible and you read it and you're like, whoa, what is that? And then somebody comes along with the gift of teaching. They explain the passage and you're like, boom, now I get it. I understand that now. You know, it's because they have the gift of teaching. Some of you are very good at explaining things, right? You're very good at that. And it's kind of like I was reminiscing. How many of you remember the day before Google Maps when you used to have to stop and ask directions? Remember those days? And you go into a city, you don't know, you're looking for a certain building, and you didn't have Google Maps, you didn't have the internet, you stopped at a gas station and you went in and you said, hey, I'm trying to get over to this building over here, how do you get there? And then the guy would explain it. And then there were times when I would get directions from a guy and I would leave and I'd come to the car and Denise would say, okay, well, how do we get there? And I'd say, I don't have a clue. I didn't understand a word that guy said. Let's go somewhere else and ask directions because I didn't understand a word he said. You know, you go down to the big oak tree down the street and then you make a left and then you go down to this hickory tree and you make a right. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't get it, you know. And then there's other people that can give you directions, and you just right away, the light goes on. Okay, I got it, right? It's because they're good at explaining things. And so maybe you have that gift of teaching. You need to develop that gift, and you need to use it for Christ. You know, you need to use that gift for the Lord because it's so important that we have teachers to teach us God's truth and to teach us about Jesus. The next thing, next gift is exhortation. He says, he who exhorts, verse 8, in exhortation. This is the gift of encouraging and challenging other people to follow Jesus. Clayton mentioned that Cameron had that gift. Some people are just really, really good at this. They're excited and they're excited. I always say excitement is contagious. And so certain people are like spark plugs, man. They're just excited. You know, when I coached baseball, I would typically have one or two players. I call them the spark plug of the team. They were kind of the ones that got everybody else going and got everybody else excited and got everybody else, you know, ready to go. And they were the spark plugs of the team. And that's the gift of exhortation. It's spark plugs, man. It's like people who are just excited and that enthusiasm and that excitement just flows out of them. And every time you're around them, you're just so encouraged. You're encouraged to want to love the Lord, to follow Jesus. And so, you know, people that are exhorters are good recruiters. They're good at getting other people involved and then turning them loose and letting them serve. And so there's certain people like that, just real, real encouraging. And that's that gift of exhortation. They exhort us to be all that we can be for Jesus Christ. And then the next one is the gift of giving. If you look at verse 8, he says, he who gives, let him do it with generosity. With generosity. This is a strong desire to share your material resources to help others, to further the work of God, to help your local church. Now, we should all be givers, right? How many of us should have a giving heart? How many? All of us, right? But there are certain people that are gifted that are just really good at it. They excel at it. I mean, they go above and beyond the normal, and they just seem to be so timely, you know, in their gifts, and they just seem to know just what's needed, and then they give it at just the right time, and they thrive on it. They literally thrive on it. I was talking to someone before the 8 o'clock service early this morning, and I was talking to them, and I looked at him like, dude, I said, you've got the gift of giving, man. He said, well, we just love it. We love it. We thrive on it. And there's certain people that have that gift of giving. Yes, we should all give, but there's certain people gifted in the body of Christ that just challenge us because they're so good at it. The next one is ruling. This is the gift of ruling. He who rules, he says, let him do it with diligence. This is basically leading. It's the gift of leadership. Some of you in here have leadership gifts. We have people in our church that lead ministries as volunteers. Right now, as I speak, we have people that are leading ministries on the property, and they're volunteers, but they're just good at it. They're good at leading others. They got maybe 20 people under them, and they're good at leading them. You know, this is a needed gift. If you have the gift of leadership, you're good typically at organizing. You're an organizer. You're good at administrating ministries and people. You know, leadership gifts And it's kind of like this. Okay, let's say we're here, point A. And there's this ministry, the leader has a vision for what this ministry can be. And so the leader has it up here, the finished product, right up here. The leader sees, that, like Nehemiah saw the finished walls when they were all broken down. The leader sees the end result. So they see, okay, if this is the end result right here, and you got all this room here, the leader is able to see the finished product, to see the vision of where we want to go, and then organize a group of people to be able to move them in that direction to fulfill that mission and that vision. That's a leadership gift. Nehemiah, like I said, is a great example. When he organized and led the people to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. So that's a great gift. And again, we need people to use that gift. And then there's one more, all right? Let's look down at verse number 8. He says, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. This is the gift of ministering to people who are sick, who are suffering, who are afflicted. And there's some people that have just this gift. They're able to just seem to have just the right words to say, or to know when not to say anything, you know, and just be there with somebody. They just have the knack and that gift to be able to relay compassion and empathy and thereby, you know, comfort people with their concern. And we got so many people in our church that are so good at this, you know, and they're at, you know, they're at the hospital and they're at the nursing home, and they're at the assisted living facilities, and they're out, you know, talking to shut-ins, and they're ministering to people who are just really hurting, and they show them mercy. They're very good at that. They're compassionate, so compassionate. And so there they are. In your handout, it says there's 7 gifts, and there are hundreds. And here's what I want you to understand. There's 7 gifts, but there are hundreds of ways that each gift can be utilized by the Holy Spirit. Hundreds. Okay, what do I mean by that? All right, look up here. See that sheet? This is opportunities to serve. We handed that out the last few weeks. These are just areas where we're like, hey, man, we need some more team members. You want to be part of the team? You know, and you check it off. Yep, I'm interested in that. Okay, that's great. But here's the difference. Let's say that when you got saved, the Holy Spirit gave you the gift of serving. You just love to serve behind the scenes. You just love to do what's needed, and you just love to serve. And as you look at this sheet, you know, you're like excited. Man, yeah, I want to serve, and yeah, what can I do? And boom, let's say that you are a very outgoing, gregarious people person. And so, vroom, boy, I mean, you just hone in right there on that first impressions team. You're like, yes, front door greeter, welcome center. I get to talk to people, smile at people, show people around. I get to make people want to come back again that are first time guests. Yes, that's me. And then there's others of you, you're more of an introvert. And you're not really a people, you love people, but you really don't thrive on being around people. You're kind of more of an introvert, you know, and you're not real outgoing, but you have the gift of serving too. So you got this person with the gift of serving, but their personality's more outgoing. Then you got this person over here, they also have the gift of serving, but they're more of an introvert. So they look at this thing and they go, media team, video camera operator, put me alone in a room with nobody around and let me operate a camera. Perfect. That's me. Do they both have the gift of serving, yes or no? Yes, but see how the Holy Spirit also uses our personalities. And so one person's like, yeah, I'll be alone in a room and run a video camera. The other person's like, "That I don't want to be alone in a room. I want to be out with people." You know, so there's 2 different ways. See there, there's hundreds of ways the Holy Spirit will lead in all these 7 gifts. There's just hundreds of ways. For example, the gift of teaching. Some of you have the gift of teaching, but you're not necessarily a big fan of getting up and talking in front of people. But guess what? There's certain people that are excellent writers. They're just so good with the pen. And man, they can write beautiful lessons, curriculum. They can write commentaries on the Bible that help people that are going to get up and speak publicly. They both have the gift of teaching. They're just each exercising that in two different ways. Some people have the gift of giving, and they're able to give large sums of money to special projects, to missions projects, to get the Bible translated, and they can like lay big piles of money, right? They got the gift of giving and they love it. And so they'll write a check. It doesn't even faze them. They'll write a check for 10 grand or, you know, a 100 grand and they'll write a check for it. And they have that gift of giving. They thrive on that. Then there's other people, they don't have that, but they have the gift of giving. So you know how they give? They don't have a whole lot of money, but every single week they buy more groceries than what they can use, and they do it so that they can cook meals for people who are in need. And that's how they give. Every week they buy extra groceries so they can cook meals for people who have a need. Do both people have the gift of giving? Yes. They're just utilizing it in two different ways. Let me give you a few principles here. All right, look in your handout. Number one there is this. It says in your handout, you don't earn these gifts, right? You don't earn them. Otherwise, they wouldn't be called gifts, gifts of the Spirit. They'd be called wages of the Spirit because wages are something you earn. No, he calls them gifts. They're gifts of God's grace. And so you don't earn these gifts, but it says in your handout there, you must grow and develop your gift. You have to grow and develop your gift. All right, so for example, give you an illustration. Because you know how the Bible says when you get saved, you become a newborn baby in Christ? Does a newborn baby, I'm talking about physical now, does a baby come out of the womb full grown? Aren't you ladies thankful for that? That's a blessing, amen? All right, so babies don't come out full grown, but do babies have the capacity to grow, yes or no? Yes. And in the same way, your spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gave you when you got saved, they are a capacity to serve. But it's your responsibility to grow in Christ. Okay, I'll give you an example. Let's say you got a guy over here. He gets saved on Sunday at church. He opens up his heart to Jesus. He's like, Jesus, I'm all in. I want you, Jesus. I want to follow you. And he opens up his heart to Jesus and he gets saved. He accepts Jesus. He accepts what he did on the cross for him. He believes in his heart that he raised up from the dead. And so he's saved the moment he believes on Sunday. When he got saved, the Holy Spirit immediately came inside of him and gave him spiritual gifts, capacities to be able to serve Christ. I didn't know that happened. When I got saved, I was a teenager, man. My brother led me to the Lord. And I told you I thought I had like gift prophecy teaching. Well, I didn't know I had that gift. I didn't know all that was happening when I got saved. But when you get saved, the Holy Spirit immediately comes inside of you and gives you a gift to be able to serve. Or two, maybe two gifts. Well, let's say this guy gets saved on Sunday. The Holy Spirit comes in, gives him the gift of teaching. That's Sunday. On Monday morning, is he going to wake up and be a deep teacher of God's word? Is he? No. He got the gift of teaching, but see, that happened the moment he got saved. But he's got to develop that gift. You got to grow. You have to let other people equip you. Like that baby, you have a capacity to grow and one day teach the Bible to other people. And you know, let me ask you this. If you know Jesus today, I want you to answer this now with a yes or no. If you know Jesus, has God gifted you to serve?
Yes.
Louder, has God gifted you to serve?
Yes.
Yes. Everyone is given a gift or gifts to serve the Lord. So, what does that mean? Well, that means that it's God's will for every believer to serve Jesus and to build up others through our gifts. And in your handout, it says that serving is very natural and normal for the true believer, but serving God is a choice. That's why he said in verse 1, I urge you, brothers, to offer your bodies. That lets me know it's a free will decision you have to make. All right, let's end with this. Remember when you were in school and they had award ceremonies? How many of you remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that award ceremony. Any of you play sports and they had trophy presentations at the end of the year? Yeah. Well, I want you to imagine with me for a moment that there's going to be a gigantic award ceremony in heaven. And each one of us on the team, on God's team, Jesus' team, we're going to stand before our leader, our coach, Jesus. And rewards and commendations are going to be handed out. We know that. The Bible tells us that. Jesus is going to evaluate what you did with the gifts and the talents, the abilities that he gave you. You'll be held accountable for that. Can you imagine? I want you to use your imagination with me now. Picture yourself in heaven and picture yourself in front of Jesus, the one who died for you on that cross. And I want you to imagine for a moment receiving a reward and a commendation from the hand of Jesus Christ. Does it get any better than that? And I don't know, but I would imagine he would say something like this. I saved you to serve. I gifted you to serve. And you did a great job using the gifts that I gave you. Well done. You know that verse, right? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Serving, right? It's all about serving. One of the greatest decisions, it says in your handout, one of the greatest decisions you could ever make is to find your place of service for the Lord. Sometimes we make excuses why we can't serve, and that's when we really ought to go back and watch that video of Cameron McGuire, right? And we need to put aside those excuses, and we need to serve the Lord. While we still have breath and we still have life in us, let's serve the Lord. Amen, church? Amen. Amen. I hope you got a better grasp now maybe of what your gift is. Now you need to pray and you need to ask God to show you how to use that gift. Let's pray right now.